This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back to the...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Pack-a-Day Radio Show, everyone. Thanks so much for being here. 8 to 9 a.m. right here on The Fan, Monday through Friday. We appreciate you guys a ton. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Don't want to make you wait anymore. We are being joined by the one and only Rob Domofsky, Packers reporter for ESPN. You can find him on social media at Rob Domofsky. Rob, it is wonderful to be talking to you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Andy. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on. I really appreciate it. I know how busy you are, especially on free agency week. So it means a ton that you would come on and chat. We've got a lot to get into. So I want to start right away. I know you've been kind of on top of the Jaire Alexander situation. It's still going on. He is still, as of right now, a member of the Green Bay Packers. What's the latest on Jaire, and what do you kind of see as the options for Green Bay moving forward here?
Yeah, well, let's look at it from Jaire's side first. I can tell you this from talking to people in his camp. They're surprised that he either hasn't been traded or released. They think that the Packers are done with him, just to be blunt. And they have not asked him to take a pay cut, so they are basically just, you know, sitting and waiting, and he will not take a pay cut if they ask him to.
Sure.
So, and then from the Packers' perspective, look, they are in a good position to wait this out and see if somebody finally does offer something in a trade, because unlike a lot of veterans who are on their second or third deals, there's no more guaranteed money left on Jair's contract. A lot of these deals, as you know, have the March roster bonuses due either the third day of the league year or the fifth day of the league year. Jair doesn't have those. Teams put those in there to, A, pad out the contract for to make, you know, give guys a chance to say, I got more money, and B, give them the chance to say, we don't have to pay it if we're going to cut you. But Jair doesn't have that. So they could wait. I mean, theoretically, Andy, they could wait all the way till the week one regular season opener and then release him and still not have to pay him a dime. I don't think it goes to that. I wonder if they're trying to wait till the draft to see if, or even after the draft, to see if somebody, you know, doesn't get a corner that they want or comes up empty there, and then they decide that they'll just release him if they can't trade him. But at this point, that's where things stand.
Yeah, Green Bay has the ability to be patient. Again, no big roster bonus that they had to pay him at the start of the new league year or anything like that. So they can wait this out as long as they want. I know, Rob, there's a lot of people that are maybe still clinging on to some hope that Jair Alexander could stay in Green Bay. They see it as ridiculous that, you know, especially with some of the money that's got thrown around, that if you couldn't get something in return for him, that you would just release him. Is there any way in which you could see Jair still returning to Green Bay this season?
I mean, I can't rule it out, and for the very reason we just talked about with what other teams didn't come up with. If they don't get enough corners, if they don't, you know, signing, Nate Hobbs, you know, that's great, but that's not complete. They need more at that position, and we've seen them double and triple up at positions. Heck, I mean, just last year they signed Xavier McKinney and then drafted, what, three safeties, right?
Yep.
With Bullard, Williams, and Oladapo, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they're not done at corner. So I would assume that, you know, we're going to see at least another two guys added to that group. If they don't, then maybe they do stick with Jair. But I can tell you that there's frustration. There was frustration. And Brian Gutekunst, this is no secret, Brian Gutekunst said it. They were frustrated that he couldn't get on the field. Jair was frustrated that, you know, his injury wasn't, you know, getting better or whatever it was. But I just don't think that anybody wants to go through that type of situation again where, you know, he can only play seven games.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. And I think the expectation is obviously he's not going to be in Green Bay, but it's still a very interesting sort of piece of what's going on with the Packers right now. We're being joined by Rob Domofsky, Packers reporter for ESPN. You can find him again on social media at Rob Domofsky. One of the things that we talked about in the first segment was Josh Meyer's new contract, 1 year, $3.5 million in New York for the Jets. Does not get any sort of significant payday, no multiple year deal. An interesting situation in New York where there's kind of three established starters on the interior of the offensive line already. Surprised that he didn't get anything more? Are you surprised that Green Bay didn't have a little bit more interest in bringing him back at around that rate? Or is this kind of what you expected?
Well, no, I'm surprised at the price. And to me, if that was the price, why wouldn't you bring him back to the Packers? But I think the contract does tell us one thing, Andy, that he's probably got some lingering injury issues that just, you know, bothered some teams. And I mean, look, he had that, you know, what looked like it could have been a really, really bad injury in the playoff game, right? It was the playoff? Yeah, it was the playoff game with the leg. He told me after that game that he also had been playing with a torn pectoral muscle. I wonder if he had to have surgery, you know, ultimately on that. And that's, you know, and he's not going to be ready for a while. So there has to be some lingering injury issues with him to drive that price so far down. I think it was surprising from the price and you know, that it was such a short-term deal.
Before we get to a couple of these new free agent signings for Green Bay, two other Packers are now gone. AJ Dillon's an Eagle. Eric Stokes goes to the Raiders, excuse me. Thoughts on those two exits? I think both of them were rather predictable, but any surprise or, you know, shock there that they did not end up back in Green Bay?
Well, I think with Dillon, the next thing is, you know, he had a neck stinger at the end of the previous year of 2023, and then has the same thing to start 2024, which of course caused him to miss the whole year. And look, I mean, I know this is a business and it's about winning and all that, but I do think the Packers are sensitive to neck type injuries.
Sure.
You know, I know Ted Thompson never wanted to be, you know, responsible for putting a guy out there that could possibly have a life altering injury. But I think the more realistic look at it is, I mean, look at their running back room. They really, really liked what they got out of Chris Brooks when he joined them last season. Emmanuel Wilson has been a really steady guy for them. And of course, Josh Jacobs. And then, you know, they really want to see what Marshawn Lloyd should do. I mean, the guy played, what, 10 snaps, I think, on offense all last year as a rookie. And this was a guy who was, you know, a second-day draft pick and you know, somebody that they really felt good about. So I don't know. I just don't know that bringing back A.J. Dillon would have, you know, it just, I don't know that it would have been the reps to go around.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it was probably, you know, for both sides, it made a ton of sense. If I were Dillon or his agent, I think it made sense to go and find a running back room that maybe wasn't quite as crowded as Green Bay's, and can see why maybe Green Bay wanted to go in a different direction as well.
Yeah.
Rob, you've been doing this for a hot second.
Real quick with Stokes. I mean, look, you got to give the guy a ton of credit for, you know, coming back from the injuries and playing, you know, basically being healthy for a year. But he just never really got back to the form of 2021, his rookie year. I mean, the amazing thing, Andy, you think about it, like he's played over 1,000 snaps in his last, what, three seasons, and he doesn't have a single pass breakup, you know, and like that's just, you know, you should have one by accident.
Yeah, I know Bill Huber brought that up in the press box, you know, midway through last year, and I was just stunned. And then I looked at it, and I looked at it the other day, over 800 some consecutive snaps in a row without a pass breakup or an interception, one career interception. Like you said, you should find one by accident at that point, and just wasn't clicking. And I think by the end of the year, it seemed like he kind of fell out of favor a little bit, obviously, as they went with Bullard in the slot and then Valentine and Nixon on the outsides. As I was about to say before, you've been doing this for a hot second, Rob, and correct me if I'm wrong, Green Bay spending massive money on a guard is not something that they've necessarily made a huge habit of. Your thoughts on them giving Aaron Banks this huge contract and what this kind of means for them in the offensive line moving forward?
Yeah, it's definitely surprising. I mean, that money, I mean, $27 million signing bonus? Like, you know, that's a lot of money. I do think that, you know, I talked to some people over there after the signing, and one of the comments was, trust our scouts more than you trust the PFF type grades. That was all, you know. So I mean, they're aware, and that tells me they're aware of the perception of it, right? Like of the fact that, you know, he's probably been a middle of the road type player in when you look at all the grading metrics, including our own at ESPN with the pass rush. Pass block win rate and run block win rate. It's not like he excels there either. So it's not just, you know, I don't mean to pick on Pro Football Focus. That's just what one person in the building used that as examples, that trust our scouts, not PFF. But anyway, it's very surprising. The other thing that's surprising to me is, you know, that they're most likely going to move Elgton Jenkins to center, not because Elgton can't play there, but because when they did the contract back with Elgton the last time around, I remember talking to his agents, and they were like, look, we think he eventually might play tackle, and we want to make sure this contract reflects tackle money as well. So I remember it coming in, you know, really high on the guard end, but also fairly favorable on the tackle end. And now here we are, you know, they're talking about moving him to center, which I think probably is going to happen. I know from what I've been told, that's at least the plan right now. That plan could change based on other acquisitions. And I mean, maybe Jacob Monk shows him that he's a great center, and, you know, maybe Elgton moves to right guard, or maybe Aaron Banks moves to right guard and they find, you know, Jacob Monk at center. But at this point, the way that things stand right now, they're looking at it like Elgton Jenkins is moving to center. And they've talked to Elgton about that. I'd be very curious to hear, you know, Elton's response.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. You know, I think when people start talking, you know, even about like Zach Tom to center, it's like, well, that guy's about to get paid $30 million as a tackle. And good luck trying to get him to move to center at this point. Those are interesting conversations to have with players sometimes. But if he's open to it, I think he could obviously be very good at that position. Well, how do you see this playing out then for Jordan Morgan, their first-round pick from a season ago, just competing with Sean Ryan and maybe Rashid Walker? Or, like, how does that go for him? Because I know a lot of people that are like, well, why did you spend a first-round pick on Jordan Morgan last year if you now don't even have a specific spot for him on the line?
Yeah, well, they'll tell you, as the standard line is, you can never have enough offensive linemen, right? Now, last year, they were hugely fortunate to not really have any injuries. I mean, they started the same offensive line in all but the Detroit game at home. which is that's almost unheard of. Now with Jordan Morgan, you know, I remember him standing there at the first day of rookie minicamp telling us, "I'm a left tackle. Like I intend to play left tackle." Well, he played right guard, you know, here for the times that he was before he was hurt. And then with Sean Ryan, it was a platoon system, right? Like, I mean, they didn't exactly, you know, give Sean Ryan the full endorsement that, yeah, he's our long-term guy when you're giving other guys snaps there. You know, Rashid Walker had a much better year in 2024. I think, at least from my eyes, I assume you would agree with that, than he did the previous year. But it's not like he's a guaranteed lock franchise left tackle that you're going to give that kind of money to after this season, right? He's up. He would be up for a contract after this year. So, you know, I think Jordan Morgan's in play at both of those places. If you told me right now that Jordan Morgan's going to be a starter this year, I would probably tell you, well, then that means their offensive line from left to right is Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elton Jenkins, Jordan Morgan, and Zach Tom. Like, I mean, that's
yep.
If for sure he's a starter, that's probably the way I would say.
You and me are in lockstep on that. I would say the exact same thing. Again, we're being joined by Rob Domofsky. You can find him on social media at Rob Domofsky, of course, ESPN, all of his incredible work over there. A couple other quick questions before we get you out of here. Nate Hobbs, obviously the other big signing. It sounds like he might play a little bit outside, a little bit inside. How do you see him fitting in with this defense?
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, everyone, as soon as they signed him, everyone labeled him as a slot guy. Well, he played a lot of slot, but last year, I was looking at snap breakdowns. There was one year where he played just as much outside as he did inside, or at least it was close. So, you know, flexibility there gives them a lot of options. And honestly, that deal didn't seem as you know, from a financial standpoint, as crazy as the Aaron Banks one did.
Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah, you look at it, he's definitely played some outside corner in his career. And to your point, it was 2022. He played 500 snaps as a wide corner and then 106 as a slot. So primarily as a wide corner in 2022. And clearly it seems like Green Bay believes he can do a little bit of both. I know a big question that a lot of Packers fans still have is, are the Packers done? Are there still some potential moves out there? They have a little bit of more money to spend. Do you see them being involved in a Cooper Kupp or a Trey Hendrickson, or what's left for this Packers team to do?
I mean, like, those are great questions, Andy. And I mean, the Trey Hendrickson thing, like, you know, the fact that nothing's happened yet probably means the price is going to come down a little bit. But it's, you know, I think I saw one report that the asking price for a trade is just it's just off the charts, right?
Yep.
Like, and that's why I never thought DK Metcalf was going to be a possibility here, is because not only would you have to give up, you know, or not only would you have to pay him, but you also have to give up quite a high draft pick to get him, and that just doesn't sound like a you know, a Brian Gutekunst type move. Now, Cooper Kupp's an interesting one because of the familiarity he would have with the system, having played in, you know, this offense for Sean McVay, and right there was overlap with him and LaFleur during LaFleur's time in L.A.
Great point.
If I'm not mistaken, so like, I mean, but then on the flip side, you look at it and go, okay, well, he's a slot receiver, and Jaden Reed's a slot receiver, and, you know, they've lined up other guys on the roster in the slot, and, you know, then what do you do there? But the price there, I could be wrong on this, but I'm guessing the price there just to sign him off the street is not going to be ridiculously high. So, you know, I do think at some point they're going to have to add some receivers, and we're to the point now where anybody you add in free agency is probably not going to be the impact guy, but I'm not willing to still say that they're going to finally break the 23 year streak of not drafting a receiver in the first round, and I don't think that's happening either. So somehow, some way, they've got to add to the receiver room.
Yeah, there's this report that Cooper Kupp could get 11 to 12 million on a 1 year deal potentially. So that might be the number that we'd be looking at if Green Bay did go in that direction. A couple really quick ones.
In these days, Andy, real quick, that's not that expensive.
No.
So, like in this day and age.
Tutu Atwell, 1 year, $10 million. I keep saying every contract in comparison to 1 year for Tutu Atwell. If you got a $30 million deal, that's just three Tutu Atwells in this economy. So no, things have definitely changed a little bit. All right, two really really quick ones. Aaron Rodgers, is there some part of you, Rob, that's just really really bummed out that you don't get to report on the Aaron Rodgers saga this offseason?
I texted our Vikings reporter Kevin Seifert and was like, "Hey, get ready if your team signs him." And he said, he wasn't kidding. He's like, honestly, it would be life changing. Like, I'm like, yeah, starting with your Tuesdays, every Tuesday you'd be glued to the McAfee show.
Yep.
So I will say this about Aaron. It was never boring.
No, never, ever boring. Even now, still not boring in any real way. So that's an interesting side note to kind of keep an eye on. Then last but not least, you've got a big game tonight, DePere versus Sheboygan North. I believe it's sectional semifinals?
Sectional semifinals for the DePere Redbirds, yeah.
Yeah, how are you feeling about the game? And nervous, excited? What do you see going on in this one?
Andy, my default setting is nervous. so the last time I wasn't nervous, I think, was when we played either Green Bay Southwest or Sheboygan South, who I think combined, well, Southwest won one game and North, I think, won one conference game, and it was over Southwest. So that's probably about the last time I wasn't nervous. But, yeah, this is a great, fun time of year, obviously hoping that they can make a run to Madison.
Yeah, it should be really, really fun. Congratulations on that. Enjoy being a dad tonight, and good luck to DePere boys basketball. Hopefully they can take care of business tonight against Sheboygan North. I cannot thank you enough. I'm stunned, and it's my bad that we haven't done this sooner. I cannot thank you enough for taking the time. Enjoy the rest of free agency. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, you got it, Andy. We'll be seeing you.
I appreciate you. You can follow him at Rob Domofsky. And then, of course, check out all of his great work right now over on ESPN. He's got a ton of great articles that are out over there covering the entire free agency process. So if you're not following Rob over on ESPN and following all of his incredible work, you are absolutely missing out. And again, social media at Rob Domofsky. This is the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll be right back right after this.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.